Arizona sports. The local sports leader.
Yeah, can I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
Wolfing down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolf and Luke.
Man, does this smell good.
It is noon on a Friday. It is time for Wolfing Down Your Lunch. Aaron Maloney is here, as always, thankfully, Aaron.
So, we just listened to a good portion of the Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, and Coyotes owner Alex Meruelo press conference about the Coyotes relocating to Salt Lake City. What was your guys' reaction to that?
Yeah, I do think there's a lot there to unpack, especially when Bettman talks, because that's obviously the guy making the final decisions on these things. The one thing I'll isolate is where he talked about how this wouldn't really be an expansion situation. He kept saying, you know, it's a team that's inactive, but it's almost like the Coyotes are a 33rd team right now that just doesn't have players or an arena. But I know that sounds ridiculous, but they're not. It's not like I was saying earlier, some guy in San Diego hoping to get a team or some guy in Kansas City hoping to get a team. For now, there is a team if you can build the arena. Wolf, he basically said reactivate the Valley. I couldn't, like, Kenny Dillingham is someone like, hey, that's almost my line.
Yeah, you know, honestly, right now, I just think PR. I think of PR, public relations, and how important PR is to a professional organization. Especially when you're getting ready to try to put something into the ground and build an arena and build a complex, you're going to need a lot of goodwill. And the media is something that you're going to need, I think, to win over to some degree if you're Alex Meruelo. And I didn't think he did a very good job of that.
The Phoenix Suns and the Timberwolves get underway tomorrow in Minnesota for game one of their best of seven series. So our Sanderson Ford poll question is up now at arizonasports.com, and it asks, which aspect of the T-Wolves big three should concern the Suns most? Is it Anthony Edwards attacking, Karl Anthony Towns shooting, or Rudy Gobert defending the rim?
I'm still going to go with Ant-Man, even though he has struggled against the Suns this year. That's the one where if he plays to his potential. Look, if he doesn't play to his potential, I don't think Minnesota has much of a chance. If he does, then you could make a case this is a 50-50 series.
I'm going to go Rudy Gobert protecting the rim. And the reason being is because I think the only chance the T-Wolves have of winning this series is being more physical than the Phoenix Suns. And Rudy Gobert doing what you just said, Mel, is going to be the tip of the spear of that physicality. They're going to need to be more physical than the Phoenix Suns. And I think of Rudy Gobert when I think of that.
So 69% said Anthony Edwards attacking, 23% Karl Anthony Towns shooting, 8% Rudy Gobert defending the rim. What are your predictions for the series?
I went Suns in six for arizonasports.com. I feel like that's a pretty, I feel good about that number, Suns in six.
You know, I've been back and forth on this, and of course the Phoenix Suns, to me, it's my own personal belief that you've got to be consistent. You have to be consistent going forward, and because they've been so inconsistent, so up and down, in my opinion, I think it's going seven, and I think the Suns win it in seven.
Jordan Montgomery will make his Arizona Diamondbacks debut tonight against the Giants. So what does D-backs GM Mike Hazen expect to see from the team's newest pitcher? He told you guys earlier this week.
We're excited. Look, he's an accomplished major league pitcher. Everybody in this market saw him pitch against us in key situations last year. We're glad we have him. I think he's going to add a level of stability to our rotation that is critical over 162. And I'm excited to see him go pitch.
I think we're all excited.
Yes.
To see him go pitch. What do you guys expect to see?
I mean, as far as tonight, it's probably not going to be, what, maybe five innings? Maybe. But I do expect to see. I mean, we kind of got skewed in the playoffs because against the Diamondbacks in the World Series game, he gave up four runs in six innings. But prior to that, he had given up six total runs in 25 innings in the playoffs. He was lights out for Texas. He's a major reason they won the World Series. But if you only watched him pitch in the playoffs when he pitched against the Diamondbacks, you might not fully appreciate how good he was.
You know, I expect him to go out and be locked in, yet knowing that he didn't have a true spring, I think you're right on that. If he goes five, that'll be a smashing success.
Yeah,
I think for the most part. If he gets six, oh my goodness, that's a great debut.
Torrey's going to be a mess in that sixth inning if he's pitching a sixth.
But once again, I can't wait. I think we all can't wait to actually see it. To actually see how he does step number one of his Diamondbacks career. His stay here for 1 year. We'll see.
The NCAA has partially ruled on the Arizona State recruiting violations case under Herm Edwards' staff, handing down more penalties after the 2023 self-imposed bowl ban. The NCAA is handing down 4 years of probation for ASU, vacated wins, a scholarship reduction, recruiting restrictions, and disassociation with an involved booster for a five-year period. Your reaction? What a good week.
Seriously, when is it Friday?
Finally!
Maybe I've just gotten numb to this.
But also not quite.
Yeah, not quite Friday.
No, finally.
Friday. Okay.
Are you saying finally it's Friday?
No. No, I was just saying at least we have some, we have something.
They've conducted some interviews?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, apparently they've brought some clarity to the situation.
You know, I'm so... Like, and I think a lot of ASU fans with football right now are so beaten down, not because of Kenny Dillingham, but just because of the state of the NIL and what was allowed to happen before Kenny got here and what he's trying to rebuild with. It feels like they keep tying a hand behind his back. It feels like somebody just stole my debit card only to find out I have 30 cents in my bank account. Like, oh, I lost my debit card. There's nothing in there anyway. That's kind of how it feels right now. Like, all right, I mean, go ahead and throw penalties at us. What are we winning, like 3 games a year right now?
Yeah, can I just say quickly on this, too? You brought it up, Kenny Dillingham. It's amazing because Herm Edwards was negligent in his job, and I was a big Herm Edwards fan. I was happy he was here, and yet to find out that he was disengaged to a degree in which we saw this team play and the undisciplined play they played with. They went from a guy that was disengaged to a guy that all he does is look for engagement in Kenny Dillingham. And regardless of what comes down from the NCAA, to me, I love the fact Kenny's here.
I've said this before. I think he's cleaning up a bunch of other people's messes, and he's not getting a lot of help. And I think he's the perfect guy to do that because he is so engaged. Also, Jaden Rashada transferred. Awesome. All right, that was Wolfing Down Your Lunch. Thank you, Aaron, as always. Enter to win an exclusive NFL draft experience. Just text DRAFT to 620-620 to enter for the chance to win a reserve table and a $200 in food and beverage credit at Flanker's Kitchen and Sports Bar inside the BetMGM Sportsbook, all while having a front row seat at our live broadcast as we await the Cardinals' first pick. Wolf's probably going to come over and take some barbecue, though, if you spend the money on that. That's DRAFT. Text DRAFT to 620-620 right now. When we come back, is it possible the LA Chargers of all teams are going to give us insight into what the Arizona Cardinals are going to do on Thursday? It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Gambo. We are just a day away from game one of the Suns' first round matchup against the Timberwolves. What will be the key if the Suns are to take game one on the road? We'll discuss it on today's Burns and Gambo show, 2-6 on Arizona Sports.
We are absolutely just going sport. It feels like a four-sport city right now. Wolf, we're just hitting every sport, every hour.
Yes.
May as well enjoy it while we have it. Oh, wait, we don't have it. We're down to three, but whatever. We had the Gary Bettman press conference. We'll react to that in a little bit. Shane Doan's going to join us in a little bit as well. But right now, football.
Killing in the name of...
Yeah.
So, you found this quote after you gave us all a speech yesterday about how you shouldn't trust anything you hear in the week leading up to the NFL draft.
Yeah, right.
We're within that window. And then Joe Horitz, LA Chargers, said this, or Ortiz said this.
We believe we have the first pick of the draft. I know there's going to be four picks that go before us, but we believe that, you know. And if four quarterbacks go, we believe strongly that we have the first pick of the draft. So what are teams willing to give us? Now, obviously, we know it's the fifth pick, and people are going to be trading on that, you know, scope. But, it's got to be a good value for us. And does it have to be blown away? What is blown away? You know, I don't know the answer to that.
There's a lot in there from Joe Ortiz, Wolf, because especially at the end, that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, that's
a good,
that really is right there.
In fact, where do you want to start?
I have to start with this right here. We believe we have the first pick in the draft. Whoa. Joe, wait a minute. What are you talking about? You have the first pick of the draft. Everyone knows the Arizona Cardinals have the first pick of the draft because we all know there's going to be three quarterbacks, three very quarterback needy teams that pick 1, 2, and 3. They're going to take quarterbacks, which means the Arizona Cardinals really have the first pick of the draft because they're going to need that quarterback. They're not going to trade out of there. I don't care what anyone says about the Patriots. They're not going to trade out of number three. They need a quarterback. There's going to be a quarterback there. The Cardinals have the number four pick in the draft, and that is where the draft starts because they have Kyler Murray. What are you talking about, Joe?
See, it's funny because as you're talking,
usurped the start of the draft.
You did. I could see the Patriots trading that pick, but it doesn't really matter because it'll still be a quarterback that gets drafted. Like, the price is so high, nobody can trade up and take Marvin Harrison Jr. even if they wanted to, which is a whole different thing we haven't even really talked about. Marvin Harrison Jr. will be there at 4 for the Cardinals because there's no way a team could trade up and take him because the price is so high because of these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But to your point, I mean, technically the Bears have the first pick. I'm sure the Patriots feel like they have the first pick. Everybody knows Washington's taking a quarterback. The Cardinals, most of us feel like have the first pick. And then you got Joe Ortiz saying, oh, we got the first pick. That's obvious, right? Everybody knows that. It's the way he said it, Wolf. Like,
yeah.
Why would you even think we didn't have the first pick with the fifth pick in the draft?
Yes. You know, to me, honestly, you thought, why did you think? Go ahead and blew me away the first time we talked about this.
You always are like, okay, wait, why is this person saying this? There's got to be a
reason.
That's
right, there's a reason why he's saying it, right? He just didn't say that haphazardly.
So I'm trying to figure out what his motivation would be if there was any sort of like, okay, I'm going to say this hoping it pushes somebody to do something. And the only way it could be anything is if he's almost daring the Cardinals to, quote, surprise him and take Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4. Because he's saying the first 4 picks will be quarterbacks. He flat out said it, which means he is telling the world, yeah, we all know the Cardinals are trading that pick.
Man. Wait a minute. Right. That is just, that's too deep right there. I think you went deeper.
Too deep even for you?
Listen, I am the grassy knoll, but Luke is buried beneath the grassy knoll.
You did this. Created this environment on this show.
I love this. Is there a possibility Luke could be right on this? Yes, based on earnings, there is. I don't think he's right, but yes, he could be. I think he was just saying it, but we believe we have the first pick of the draft. And the reason why we believe that is everybody knows the Arizona Cardinals are trading out.
But the only reason I would say there might be any sort of maybe iota of a question as to why he was doing it is he said it so certainly. Like, he almost said it like, oh yeah, we're not even preparing for any other scenarios.
He was tone.
But
okay, let me hear it again. Let's hear it again. Listen to the basin audience. Listen to the first sentence. That's all I say.
All right, you tell me when to stop it.
We believe we have the first pick of the draft. I know there's...
Okay, now I'm going to play another quote from him that we haven't played yet.
We believe, and I think Coach mentioned, we actually have the first pick if the run of quarterbacks go. So so people all have called about interest in coming up to us. We've had conversations, but I think we'll have conversations through this week. I've had them already this week. We'll have them through the weekend, through next week, and then on draft day, that's when it'll really pick up.
Is there a benchmark for you, like a specific benchmark as far as return that you need to get in order to pass on?
Sure. There's certainly, it's too good of a deal because of what you're getting back. Yeah. They have to make it attractive for us to move away from those players. You know, the whole, it's a fair trade, it's a wash. I don't think that's a trade that we're interested in.
He basically just said, we can be bought, but you better start piling the cash on the table. That's basically what he
said. Maybe that's what he's trying to do right there is, yeah, you know what? Wow.
What do you make of
that? He said it again, though.
He said it again, and he said, we do have the first pick. But then he also said, teams have been calling us. And that is, see, that goes back to your original point and sort of my question earlier in the show. Like, how much do the actual GMs already kind of know how this draft might play out? Because if teams are calling him, they are assuming what? If you're calling the Chargers to make picks, aren't you almost assuming the Cardinals are taking Marvin Harrison Jr.? Like, it's sort of the opposite of what he's saying. Why are teams calling him to move up to get a quarterback?
Yeah.
If four quarterbacks go in the first four picks, unless it's teams trying to trade up to get Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right. This is really fascinating right now. The mind game that is going on. I think when I read this, I'll give you my gut feeling here, even though Luke is ruining it for me. When he said, we believe we have the first pick in the draft, and said it, minus the sniff right there at the end.
I don't know. He reiterated it. That's almost like the sniff.
He did say it again. What are you doing? Joe, what are you doing? You're trying to take the stick and jab it into somebody's eye. Why is the question right there? I don't know, but when he first said it, I believed it totally meant the Arizona Cardinals. He believes, in all of their mocks that they've done, the Arizona Cardinals are trading out of number four. They're not going to sit there and take Marvin Harrison Jr. or Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers or anybody for that matter. They're going to, and the reason why they're going to trade up, because we believe Monty Ossenfort, he's done this before, and boy, is he going to get offered an awful lot. And maybe that's why he said it, but if you believe Luke, he's saying it for a reason. I know, again, how does that...
I tend to believe Luke. That's sort of my policy in life. But I don't claim to know what the reason is. Luke. How's that? But I kind of think he's doing it
for
a reason.
He said it twice. He did say it twice.
Could there be a fifth quarterback?
Yes, there could.
That they're trying to be like, you know what? Mel? All four quarterbacks are going, so call
Michael
us
Penix
if
Jr.
you want that fifth quarterback.
You know what?
Yeah, that might be it.
You know what?
That might be it.
Because you have like Sean Payton, you have, you know, maybe the Vikings or someone else who can't move up to three or four.
Okay. Yeah.
Rick, turn her microphone off, please.
because Monty won't give the pick to the Vikings because they won't give us Justin Jefferson.
See? It all comes back to Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
Do the math, though, for a second, just, though. Like, for what she's saying, let's just say you're right and the Patriots take a quarterback, okay? So you still have...
Wait, you don't think they're going to take a quarterback?
I'm looking at the Patriots as a team that might trade out of that spot.
Okay, I think they're taking a quarterback.
But either way, a quarterback's going there.
Okay.
But let's say what you're saying happens and the Patriots take the quarterback.
Yeah, okay.
So you still have the Broncos and Vikings who desperately need a quarterback. What if some of these mocks are true and the Cardinals do trade, but it's with the Giants? They just moved down two spots.
Yeah.
Then you still have the Vikings and Broncos who are extremely desperate, who would be calling the Chargers to move up and get a Michael Penix Jr.
Is there a possibility that Michael Penix Jr. is soaring up draft boards right now?
I can tell you this. There are more teams that need quarterbacks than there are quarterbacks available. That I can tell you definitively.
That was good, Mel.
All right, when we come back, ASU has a starting quarterback. It's not the one you were probably expecting, though, for next season, because that guy just left. We'll explain all this next. It's Wolf and Luke in Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
It's Vince Marotta. Join us Monday morning. We'll recap what the Suns did in Game 1 in Minnesota and what the Diamondbacks did in San Francisco. Starts at 6, bright and early here on Arizona Sports.
Well, as you just heard Rick mention in the update, not a great week for Valley Sports.
No.
Especially if you went to ASU and or worked for the Coyotes. Oh, wait, that's me. Jaden Rashada is, in addition to all the stuff that Rick just read off there in the update with the sanctions.
I didn't mean to laugh, Luke.
It's better to laugh. It's just kind of funny. It's easier to laugh. Plus, there's barbecue in our vicinity, yeah. So I've forgotten everything that happened this week.
I breathe it in now.
Although it's tough because we obviously can't eat it for the next 10 minutes, and it's just right there.
Just brutal.
They also didn't give you any silverware, so you got to eat mac and cheese with your hand.
Hey, brah.
Just
can you please?
Just maybe one fork?
I mean, just how disgusting would that be?
Here's a handful of mac and cheese.
Okay, please, that just stop it. And then I'll go, wait, just put it all over the desk and the countertop and just
spell your name out in
it.
And then leave it there.
Right.
Jaden Rashada is transferring. And like, I mean, nobody transferring from anywhere should surprise us at this point. I just, if you had told me, look, one player is going to stay at ASU at this point, I probably would have said Jaden Rashada just because he's been so kind of invested lately. And he's even the one, remember they did the schedule release. He was the one walking around campus interviewing students being like, okay, what do you think of it? Yeah. What's this team's mascot that we're going to play? Like he, I don't know. We haven't really seen him get to play yet. I know he played a little bit last year, but he had the injury, freshman or whatever. But yeah, Sam Levitt, it sounds like, had a better spring. And so it's as of yesterday, somewhat abruptly, Jaden Rashada is in the transfer portal.
Oh, here we go, right? I mean, here it is once again. This is what you do. This is what you do. You know what? If you're an ASU fan right now, do not fret about this at all. Do not. If this is what your potential starting quarterback will do when given resistance of any kind, you don't want him to be your quarterback anyways. You don't. You got to be kidding me. You want your starting quarterback to be a dude that will never quit when the odds say you might or you should quit. You want a guy who's going to take it to the ground, man. You want a guy that's going to stick around. To me, this is exactly what the NIL and the transfer portal has done. And it's the ruination of college football again. And it's not just what it does inside a locker room, Basinonians. It's what it does. It rots the competition. It rots the very nature of what you're supposed to be. A football team, and there are guys competing for positions and playing time. They're competing for it. No, they're not. The NIL says this guy's starting and you're going to sit down and shut up. That's what you're going to do.
You know my thoughts on this, and they're not getting any stronger, or certainly they're not weakening with Rashada leaving ASU, but I don't like the combination of the NIL and the transfer portal. You and I are pretty much in the same spot here, except I think I'm willing to have one or the other, but I don't like the two of them together. And I hear what you're saying about it makes it really tough to compete when one quarterback has got $1 million NIL and this other guy might be better, but you're not going to get to play because we can't lose this guy. He's already got $1 million committed to him. But this to me is another of a billion examples of why if you're going to do this, if you're going to allow the NILs and you're going to allow the have some sort of rules in place, even if it's just, okay, you can't transfer because you got beat out of spring ball. You know what I mean? Like, you could at least make this a little bit more palatable for everybody and say, yeah, there's going to be NILs, and yeah, you can transfer, and you could transfer every year, which I hate, because that doesn't happen in professional sports either. But it shouldn't be you can transfer every day of every year.
Yeah, you just, to me, my brother, on this one, you're wrong, because the NIL, once again, is what rots the competition from the center, from the locker room.
Don't disagree with that.
This stuff to me is I don't want to call it sacred because everyone will go religious on that. But to me it is. The game of football is predicated on the fact, hey boys, we all got a chance. We all got a chance. I can beat you out. I might be number two on the depth chart, but I can beat you out. No, you can't. You sit down and shut up because we're paying this guy $1 million. I mean, seriously, now I realize that's not the case for everybody in there. I don't care if it's in there for one kid, if it was my kid, especially, that was out there. And, you know, I'm not going to be able to compete with this kid because they're paying him $1 million. You tell me that should be the case in college football. That should be the case. It is, man, it's awful.
Doesn't it feel like there's a fairly simple solution of if you're going to pay guys, everybody gets paid the same.
Yes.
And you have to have some sort of regulations of transferring shouldn't just be like, yeah, I'm kind of upset today. I'm going to transfer. Like, I don't want college athletes to be stuck in a bad situation. So you should be able to transfer. But what you're saying about the NIL is like setting fire to the locker room. And then the transfer portal is like pouring gas on it.
Say to me right now, if you want to transfer, have the portal open. Got no problem with that. Just don't pay these kids this NIL $1 million deal. It drives me absolutely nuts. There are two types of people in the world. Those that believe they need to fight through obstacles to get to the other side, and those that do not believe it. That they're better than having to fight through obstacles. Which one is Jaden Rashada?
Well, I hesitate to say this because it's not going to make you happy, but it's not even a Jaden Rashada thing to me. It's more the system is promoting that type that you don't want. This system is in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, if not already, is going to tell you you should not be fighting through anything. Even if you are wired to fight through it, this system's telling you, why would you do that? You could just leave.
Man, it's this really gets personal to me because of my own upbringing. It does. We no longer value a college scholarship. It doesn't mean anything. Yeah, you know what? I'm with you on this. The stipend, go ahead and give it to everybody, every kid out there. I got no problem with that. Let him walk around with some cash in his pocket. What a beautiful thing that is. I've got no problem with that. When you start with the NILs, the NIL is the ruination of college football. It's a joke.
Also, I feel like a lot of these guys aren't even doing commercials. Wasn't it supposed to be like, hey, you're going to do an ad for us? And now it's just, yeah, the boosters pulled their money and they're giving you money. There's no regulation at all. It's just the Wild West right now.
We don't value anything anymore.
Legendary comedian Kevin Hart is heading to Arizona Financial Theater on October 11th. Tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m., but you can win a pair now by visiting the contest page on arizonasports.com. When we come back, how's Shane Doan feeling following the news of the Coyotes being sold, and does he believe hockey will, in fact, be back in the desert? We'll ask the Coyotes legend. He's going to join us next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. All right, it's Wolf and Luke on a Friday afternoon now. Wolf, we have finally, everybody out there has finally almost made it through this week.
For a long time.
You know what's going to make us feel better about this sports week, Wolf?
What's that?
Talking to Shane Doan. Shane Doan. Doaner's joining us right now on the Arizona Sports Line. Says here on the sheet, Arizona Coyotes legend. Yeah, we can give him that. Yeah, Arizona Coyotes legend, Shane Doan joining us.
Indeed.
Doaner, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not much. I'm just getting ready to fly back over. I'm heading back over to Boston, so on my way there.
All right.
So, Doaner, where are you right now, man, in regard to your emotions and all that has happened and all that is going on?
You know what? I think I'm pretty. It's sad. Like, it's sad that this is the kind of the day and what's going on and what's happening. But you understand that you got to move on and move on to the what's next. And I've said it over and over. I think this is just the end of the chapter. It's not the end of the book. And it's kind of cliche-ish, but for my emotions and stuff, you go through the whole process of something that you love and care about and a lot, and the people and the relationships that go along with it. And so it's hard and sad.
But yeah, but Doaner, I can hear it in your voice. You know, I mean, it you're wearing this, man.
Well, I think everyone that's a fan, it's not, I mean, I think the other night was probably a little bit more of a celebration of the 28 years and the foundation that was led or that was kind of laid down. And obviously today's a little harder and you understand it and you recognize the finality of it. And at the same time, I'm super excited for my son and the opportunity he's got to meet Ryan Smith, and the players got to meet him, and they're all excited about it, and they're excited about the opportunity that's going to be presented to them. So as a dad, your kid's all, it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, since you brought that up, Doaner, and we're talking to Shane Doan, obviously, you know, you and I already kind of talked about this, but Josh is in such a unique situation because he was a fan of the Coyotes as well, and now you're in a unique situation where you can kind of give him some advice of, he was just kind of breaking in here, he was a fan here already, he knows, he gets to keep his teammates, but it's a whole new city. That's such a unique situation that most athletes don't go through. Like, what do you tell him?
We talked about it, and it was kind of the same thing. Like, I remember when we left Winnipeg, and it was sad, and all the similar feelings for the people of Winnipeg and everything that they went through. And then he had an opportunity to come to Phoenix, a place that truly, the only thing I knew about Arizona before I got here was my favorite movie was Tombstone. And I loved the whole story of Tombstone.
That sounds like you.
And when I got here, I fell in love with the place. I mean, the Western theme and the horses and obviously was played into it. But I told Josh, okay, you're going to Salt Lake City. You're going to a place that you can write your own story, and you probably never thought you're going to live there. And now you get an opportunity to, and you got to make the most of it. And it's an incredible opportunity for those guys to create their own stories and do their own thing in a new city. And that's your only choice. You either choose to be upset or you choose to embrace it. And I was like, it's easy. Just choose to embrace it and love it and do everything you can. Be grateful and thankful, and can't wait to get there.
Donor, what about you and your story and the story of the NHL? Is there anything down the road? I know it's so early to ask you this right now, but you know, you obviously are in the NHL right now with the Maple Leafs. And what about your story here? Do you think your story here with the NHL is over?
Well, you know what? The one thing that I've learned is that you never say no to anything. I probably would have 1,000% said no if someone said, hey, you're going to be working for Toronto next year. And I would have said no. There's probably no chance. And then the opportunity and everything that came, and what obviously Tree being there was pretty exciting. And so it turned into something that I was so excited about. I don't know what the exact future for myself is, but I do know, and from listening to what Gary Bettman has said, is that they believe they want a team here. They want a team to be here. They want it to be done the right way, and they want it to be done with the support of the community and the support of the people and the state and everything that goes along with that. And that's important to them. That's why I truly believe that this is, again, a chapter. It's a dark chapter, not a chapter I like. I'd like it to get over. I'd like to move, get going on to the next part. But right now, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think we're all right there with you on this one, Shane. I think we're all kind of processing this at different rates, too. But, you know, one thing Gary Bettman did say in his press conference today with Alex Morello was he did sort of draw a distinction between what the Coyotes are and what just a totally clean expansion team would be. He almost made it sound like there's like a 33rd team as long as they can reactivate it in the next 5 years. So I know you've tried to stay optimistic about this. When I heard that is at least a little bit different in a good way.
Yeah. It's important. It's important for us. I mean, I think as Coyotes fans to hear that. And when they heard that, I think that was something that you could be kind of hang your hat on. And 5 years seems like a long time. When you're younger, it seems like a really long time, but as you get older, you realize how quickly that comes. And hopefully it's something that can work. And that would be, you know, everybody here in the Valley would be, I think, very excited about that are hockey fans. And hey, I understand all the naysayers about hockey here in the Valley from outside of the Valley, but the people that are here, I truly believe will support, and the foundation that's been laid. And it starts with, obviously, the ice den and what they've done, and Richard Burke and Taylor Burke bringing the team here and then establishing the ice den. AZ Ice has got some nice arenas here in town. And then what ASU is doing in creating kind of a program that is a Division I program that's having success. They finished there as high as 11th in the country this year. Nice. I think that's great. And so I think there's a foundation for people to get behind. Some of the best players in the world have come from our state. And I think that also kind of bids well for us. And we have to hold on to that. And I think that if a team comes back, it's not like an expansion team to a new city. It's an expansion team to a place that has a foundation, and it really will work.
So, Donor, can I be so bold to ask you your responsibilities with the Leafs and where you see your NHL career headed?
Wolf,
you know, once again, I mean, you know where I'm going with all of this. I just wonder, have you ever wanted to be a general manager at some point in time?
You know what? It's one of those things that I'm learning so much from being around Brad and being around Brendan Shanahan and management in Toronto. I absolutely love the players, and it's an absolute blast to be part of that and do all that. So I'm learning lots. I think that everybody that ever plays, like I'm sure you, Wolf, when you played football, you're like, man, if I could be in management, I'd do a good job. So everyone thinks that they can do it. And I'm probably learning that it's a lot more difficult and harder job than I ever realized watching what they have to do on a daily basis. I've managed at the World Championships and at the Olympics, so obviously that I do enjoy that, and it's just something that I've been really proud of and had a good time doing. I don't know what my future will be, but right now I'm really excited about the playoffs and us playing Boston.
I'm just saying, because you know what, you'd be really good at it. I'm just telling you, Donner, that's just me.
Bring Wolf into negotiations, you'll
get
any job.
You'd be really, really good at it. Okay, I'm done with it.
Go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead. Go ahead, Shane.
No, I was just enjoying your guys' conversation yesterday with the general manager. What was it, the NFL guy? Oh, my goodness, it was so good listening to him talk about the draft. Oh,
yeah. Mike Mayock. Yeah, I know.
Mayock, you and him are friends. And I was like, man, that was cool listening to him talk.
Look, I mean, since we're talking Toronto here, I don't know how you guys got stuck playing Boston again in the first round. That always seems to happen. But I'm going to ask you about Auston Matthews. Most goals in an NHL season since Mario Lemieux did it back in 1996. He obviously grew up a Coyotes fan. I don't think I have to make that connection for anybody. But and just what have you seen from him, even before you were working for Toronto?
You know what? He is dedicated to what he does. Like, I mean, dedicated to it. His desire and will to score goals is... It's cold-hearted at times, like, which is good. Like, it's so determined, and without ever, it's just that his focus, his ability to do it is better than anyone I've ever seen. And the way he relates and the way that he is to his teammates and how excited they are when he scores, I've been so much more impressed than I thought I would be. And I know Austin well, and I've thought of the world of him as a young man and as a person. And to see him on a daily basis has been absolutely amazing. And they've done an incredible job with him as parents, Brian and his wife. They've done an amazing job in raising the kid, because he is amazing. But his goal scoring, I've seen him take a one-timer off a goalie's head in practice, kind of. This is not with Toronto, but just in the summer. He didn't even blink. Like, he hit the goalie right between the eyes. And I mean, hammered him. And his thought process, well, it was going in. So, I mean, don't stop it. Like, that. Like that's, no. Like, don't get hit by it. If you don't want, like, don't stop it. And that, like, that ability to be that calculated and cold about scoring was something that I was so impressed with. And in a kind of weird kind of way. So.
Well, Donner, even though the team's not here right now, we're going to keep calling you, so just be ready for that.
Hey, I will be listening, and I will answer every time you guys do.
You're awesome. The best.
Thank
man.
You, Shane.
Thank you, Donner.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, Wolf. Okay, thanks, man. Luke. See ya. Thanks, Aaron.
That's Shane Doan joining us right there on the Arizona Sports Line. I tell you, and we can get back into this later, but like, it's probably hitting him almost harder than anybody. Because he did so much to keep this team here, and he is the Coyotes.
Man, you could hear it in his voice.
I tell you, I feel like he sounds a little bit better today than yesterday. I think we all probably sound a little bit better today than yesterday. Yeah. All right, when we come back, what do you expect from the Phoenix Suns in this first-round series that starts in less than 24 hours? We're going to give you our predictions next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.